7:19 here on The Ticket. Shawn Michaels Show in for the Musers. Appreciate you being up with us. He's Mike Soroy. I'm Shawn Bass. We got Gen X Davey Lane with us. Big Strong on the board. Killer producing, and you just heard DJ with a ticker. He has those at 10 and 50 past the hour. Coming up at 7:30, we've got the sports carry-on. Plenty of assorted sports stories. Then we'll get back into the NBA Finals at 7:55. But right now, it's time for the news with Davey, which is brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair. Hey, Davey.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, wanted to start out with a little bit of good news after we got a little somber in the last segment. It's summertime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this was a rite of passage for you fellas, but for me, for sure, I was a season pass holder at Six Flags, and summer was get dropped off at the front gate at Six Flags at 9 in the morning, and then having your parents pick you up at 6 at night.
Went wild for me.
Went wild?
I mean, the season pass had went wild because growing up in Mesquite, we used to have one in Garland. I know some P1s might remember the one off of LBJ in Garland.
Yep.
And that was like sort of like the low rent Wet n' Wild compared to the really nice one in Arlington. But yeah, that was clutch, man.
That sounds awesome. We didn't have that where I grew up. There was no big amusement park.
You weren't that close to Orlando?
No, that was 5+ hours.
Never did it?
No, we did that maybe every couple years.
But like, as a family, never like as a babysitter.
I don't understand the question.
Like Vita never just dropped you off and let you and Cash run wild for the
day. It was like every couple year, big family thing.
Yeah.
And we had a decent water park, but I certainly never had a season pass. That sounds super.
Yeah, when the park would open, your parents would drop you off, and usually you had a friend or two with you. And then when they close, they pick you up, and your parents had the whole day to themselves to either work
like,
or just not deal with you.
Yeah. It's a win-win.
Open to close?
Yes. They give you $20 to eat or pack a lunch and get a locker and just, you know.
And you're just like Napoleon.
Yeah, and you could always make the case as the kid that, hey, a season pass pays for itself if you go twice.
And it kind of does.
I don't know if that the same math applies these days, but anyway, DISD had a program this year. It was called Strive for No More Than 5.
That's a cumbersome title.
Yeah, they probably could have workshopped that a little bit more. But families of students with 5 or fewer absences during the school year in DISD can receive a free general admission ticket to Six Flags with the purchase of another ticket. So any kid pre-K through 12 in DISD that was good attendance, I won't say great attendance, but good attendance, can get a free ticket to Six Flags. So that's fun.
That is fun. I remember some incentive-based attendance stuff, but I never remember trying to actually get it, and it wasn't that good.
Right, obviously, it wasn't good enough for you to attempt to make it to school every day.
I like to read books for pizza when I was a kid.
Would you just ride the same coasters all day back in the day? Is that what your strategy was?
I mean, it was this was pre-Texas Giant. I mean, pretty much all you had was the Judge Roy scream and the shockwave.
What about the flashback?
The flashback may have been around
towards
the end. But yeah, we would just run up the hill and ride the Judge Roy scream and then come down the exit ramp and then cut across the grass and get right back in line.
Right back on.
Ride it like 10 times in a row.
Have you ever had the magical opportunity when there's no line? And they pull the thing in, and then you just kind of give
them, like, you know what?
You give them the finger, another round, and you don't even have to get up.
Look at the guy up there with the red button.
And he gives you the nod. It's your day, boys.
That's right. Man, magic of summer. Speaking of summer, we talked a little bit yesterday that the 2020 Tokyo Olympics are finally moving ahead this summer, 2021. And as is tradition with the Olympics, they have the running of the Olympic torch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess they light the flame in Athens, in Greece, and then they...
weird delivery.
In Greece. And then they, I guess, put it in the little Coleman camp lantern and take it on a plane and tour it all around.
Don't they have two of them going, too? Like, there's one in a case nearby or...
Probably.
Probably not in a case, but...
Yeah, so
I don't know how they do it.
They are in the home stretch of the running of the torch. They are in Japan. And so There's a northern province of Japan, Ibarakari. I don't know.
Sounds good.
And so the capital city is Mito City. Sounds made up. That sounds like from Vice City or something. Mito City. So the torch was passing through this region on the 4th and the 5th. And while it was passing through Mito City, there was a brazen attempt on the flame.
To snuff?
A woman.
Oh.
53-year-old woman from nearby Hitachi City. She shouted, "Olympic opposition, stop the Olympics," and began firing a squirt gun at the torch's flame.
She had a super soaker?
As it walked, what? As it passed by. She was, did you know that they, I guess they have a security detail for the runner with the torch, and they have, like, kind of riot shields?
Mm-hmm.
So they blocked her with the shields.
They blocked the fluids.
They just knocked her down.
And then police...
I have video. Look at her.
Yeah, police arrested her for obstruction of business. Do you want to hear the details of her weapon of choice?
I do. I'm looking at it, but yeah, I want to see what exactly it is.
It is allegedly a fancy and toy Tenari splash water gun. It has a 16
fancy and toy.
It has a 16-foot range. The clip holds 4.4 fluid ounces.
It's not a lot.
And it's a snub-nosed 8-inch design, ideal for concealed carry.
Yeah, I mean,
now this is a picture of a similar weapon. So that is what attacked the Olympic flame.
Like something your kids would have in their bathtub.
It's not going to get the job done.
No.
Yeah, this is not a super soaker.
No.
And that I guess, like, she had that in like her back waistband or something.
And that torch is like gas fueled from underneath, right?
Yeah, it's not like
it's not just
a tiki torch with a wick.
Right. I always have Olympic torch tension, specifically in like the opening ceremonies. Wasn't it, was it Superman 2 or 3 that, was it Zod? Someone, I need a nerd, Jer. Somebody tried to, or was it when Superman went bad?
Yeah, when he had the bad kryptonite and turned to evil, he blew out the torch.
He took a bad hit.
With his frost breath?
Yes, he was just standing, he was like up on one of the big lights at the Olympic opening ceremony and just froze the...
And so the guy just has to meekly walk back down to relight the torch.
Yeah, and everything gets silent.
He's got a Zippo.
Good bit.
He's out of fluid, having to shake it.
Superman was being a jerk because he took bad kryptonite. My favorite, I think we need to get, we have a chance. I'm voting Hideki Matsuyama to light the cauldron, our Masters champion.
That would be a good one.
What if
he is a national hero.
Flaming golf ball.
Don't think they didn't consider
it. And he just hits like a...
Chipping it from the 50.
Flopping a wedge in there.
Well, it was the 92 Barcelona Olympics.
The greatest ever.
They had the arrow.
That I had big tension there.
Yeah, but that it didn't land in. It went over.
He airmailed it.
No, they had.
It went over and it caught the vapors of the gas.
They had a
on
wall
fire.
Of gas.
Yeah, there was no way he was going to miss that shot. He could have been within
ballsy,
10 feet.
Though.
It's a baller move.
And then the whole landing area that you have to
You got to clear like a half mile beyond the cauldron so nobody gets a flaming arrow in the chest.
Right.
As they're waiting for a Bud Light at the concession stand.
Yeah. Arrow through the head like Steve Martin.
I can't remember who on the Musers has an irrational fear of this. It's got to be Junes. Maybe you can confirm or deny, Sean. Mm-hmm. A 65-year-old man in Vienna, Austria was already awake, but he was rudely awoken, had a burst of adrenaline at 6 a.m. because he was sitting down on the toilet, and by his account, according to the police statement, he felt a pinch in the area of his genitals.
Mm.
Turned around, and there was a 5-foot albino reticulated python in his toilet.
Oh, good day, mate.
This is what fuels the nightmare that those of us who have this have. Because then one story happens, and now it's real. And now everybody gets to think about this. I don't have an irrational fear of it, but I do click the light on and off.
And just double check.
I take a look.
Make sure you don't. You never back in blind.
Every time, I think.
Doesn't everybody look just out of habit?
Well, you want to make sure that nobody left a surprise in there
right.
for you.
You don't want to add to the hell.
No, I'm looking for wildlife.
You don't want to double up. Unless you're, like, saving water for the planet.
True.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't breach the surface.
Now,
you're okay.
This wasn't a completely random occurrence because the poor 65-year-old man has a 24-year-old neighbor who owns 11 snakes. And this was one of his snakes.
Oh, no.
So they're all non-venomous constrictors. But one of them got out of its tank and slid into his toilet and slid out the other guy's toilet.
Found itself smart enough
to bit him on the sack.
Make his way over to the neighbor's toilet.
Yep.
And slide right
on
that
guy's nuts.
That guy's nuts.
And go through the drain to the other guy's toilet and bite on that guy's nuts.
By the time he got home, he didn't even want to bite his own neighbor, his own owner's nuts. And that's how he got flushed.
Snake guy is weird.
And that's how he got flushed into
like,
I don't know what the cutoff is.
Like maybe if you have more than
three. I think if you have more than one snake.
If you have 11, you're a weird snake guy. For sure.
Over under, let's just go United States of America. I'm going to set the over under at 250. People who have snakes but have zero tattoos.
Ooh.
Because snake
guy. Yeah, that Venn diagram is
dangerously interlocking.
Pretty well overlapping.
And then what percentage of snake owners have a snake themed tattoo? Because snake guy.
Right. If they have a tattoo, there's definitely a snake involved. It's a good one.
250 is a pretty low number.
And how many of them live in Florida?
Half.
Lay off the sunshine.
I have a super good one, but I'm going to save this for tomorrow because it deserves more than the time we have left. So let's get to birthdays.
Hey.
These are your birthdays. It says July 6th, but it says Tuesday. So these are the right birthdays, killer?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, those are the right birthdays.
Okay.
sounded strong as oak.
I don't know the guy's actual name, but the dude from Owl City is 35 because it just says Owl City. Oh, okay. 35.
Hey guys.
Bizarre is 45. Is that like a rapper or something?
Killer, where are you getting these birthdays?
He's a rapper.
It's a simple question.
Okay.
Where are you getting?
RZA, a much more well-known rapper, is 52.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Huey Lewis, 71.
Sports.
Jim Gaffigan, 55.
Funny.
Shelley Duvall, 72.
Skinny.
Mm-hmm. Ringo Starr, the original rock drummer, is 81.
Wow.
A couple of sports birthdays for you. Shohei Ohtani, taking the MLB by storm, is 27. Alexander Radulov is 35.
There he is.
Goose Gossage, 70. And dead on this day, still dead, except for his frozen head, Ted Williams.
Wow. I would like to thank Killer or wish a happy birthday to at least both Huey Lewis and RZA, who were born on July 5th. I couldn't confirm everyone as you did it.
The dates
Although,
and the days don't match up, nor do the birthdays.
Although Ringo Starr is July 7th, so bit of a potluck.
But not the 6th.
Okay. Bit of a potluck. No,
I fell into
7th.
A tray hole. Okay. Leave me alone.
You're doing great.
Happy birthday to my lovely wife.
Great.
She's not listening.
Today?
But today.
Wow. Hey, wow. Lady Seabass.
All right.
Wake her up in that special way.
Hey, moving on.
At 4 a.m. now. NBA Finals talk ahead at 7:55, but next we have the sports carry-on, including a big death in Cotton Bowl.